Daf is Daf Samech Vav. We got to the bottom of Samech Hey Rebbe. We decided to stop a little early just because it's a one long discussion here. The Gemara from around nine lines up from the bottom, Tanur Rabbanon. So the Gemara quotes a Brayis, a Tanur Rabbanon, a Tsinur, a little pipe. It could be a big pipe. Tsinur Shechakaku Uluvasov Kavo Polsas a Mikvah. If a pipe was created, a person, they fashioned out a pipe. They made it into a kli of some sort, and then afterwards, after they made the pipe, they then had placed it as part of the mikvah. That is posed as a mikvah. That disqualifies the mikvah, and that's because if you look at the Rashbam, the first wide line down, Rashbam writes, Kavo Bakarka posed as a mikvah, Demaim Shu'uvim Posnoso. Water that's been drawn is going to be posel. V'chevin Shaya Toras Kli Alav, since this tzinor had a din of a kli, so therefore it's posel. Kodem in a Torah is considered a kli. Kodem shekavu, and then even though afterwards I put the pipe in the ground, that connected to the ground, lo mivatel tsu sham kli mine. That just because I attach it to the ground doesn't lose its shame kli. It's always a kli, and therefore says the Rashbam, mashvi lehu shuvim lemaim shebasoch. It passels. It disqualifies the water because they're considered drawn in, carried over from other place. When it comes to a mikvah, the rainwater has to fall in that same place for it to be a kasher mikvah. For you transport the water, that's possible. So they made a din d'rabbanan that if it goes into any kli, even if it's at that same location where it falls, that's called shuvim and possible. So if the first I made the tzinur and then put it in the ground, since it once had a shame kli, it's possible. But, says the Gemara, kavu elovasov chakuk, if I took a piece of metal, just a solid piece of metal, I put it in the ground, and then I started carving out a little hole in it, I started to make a pipe while it's connected to the ground, in that situation, again, kavu elovasov chakuk, Eino posel as a mikvah, since it never had a shame kli, since it was never detached from the ground as a kli, that's considered kosher and doesn't disqualify the mikvah. So Gemara wants to know, money, who authored this brisa? It can't be Lo Rabbi Eliezer or Lo Rabbanan. It couldn't be either one. Why? So hey, Rabbi Eliezer, which Rabbi Eliezer are we referring to that it couldn't be? Ilema Rabbi Eliezer de Bias. Maybe it's referring to Rabbi Eliezer of the house that we spoke of yesterday. So it can't be, that's not the case, because Dilma Hainu Taima de Rabbi Eliezer, because remember, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol Mechub L'Karka K'Karka Dami. So if he's the opinion that says that way, so you would think, if you take a kli, a tzinor, put it in the ground, that would be mevatel the kli, and it would be considered a good mikvah. So if that's the one, Rabbi Eliezer, Dilma Hainu Taima de Rabbi Eliezer, Savar, Mocher Bain Yafem Mocher. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer's discussion about when you sell something, everything attached to the ground as part of that sale has nothing to do with the kli being mevatel to the karka or not being mevatel to the karka. It has to do with the generosity of when a person sells a property. When I sell a property, I have in mind, bedas, that everything connected to the ground is part of that sale, and nothing to do with the shame kli versus shame karka. It's just about yain yafeh, and can be brought back to our attention, and Rabbanan say, savri mocher b'ayin ra mocher. A person sells, he's very stingy, and things, he doesn't include things, that even things are attached to the ground, nothing's included. So that discussion of selling the house and all the various items has to do with Ayin Yafa, Ayin Ra, nothing to do with taking a kli and being mevata to a karka. So that can't be the Rabbi Eliezer that we're referring to. So which Rabbi Eliezer are we referring to that cannot be the author of this brisa about the Tzinur Shechakaka? The Gemara says it must be Ella Rabbi Eliezer de Kaveris Devorim. Rabbi Eliezer about the discussion of a honeycomb. The Mishnah tells us this Mishnah appears in a Mesecha Shavias and also in Uxin. It says Kaveris Devorim. If you have a honeycomb, a beehive, and Rabbi Eliezer Omer Harehu Kikarka, it's attached to the ground, all that the honeycomb is considered part of the karka. And what's the relevance of all this? Well, it's a kakarka. First, Rashbam says before the Mishnah gives examples, Rashbam says that it's koneh with kesef shtaru chazaka. Like any other karka, you could pay for karka, you could write a document of the karka, or you could do a chazaka on the karka. So too, a kaveris devorim can be acquired through any of those kinyani karka. And it also means we know the Gemara's in Kedushin tell us if I'm kone karka, I can also kone metalton together. If I'm selling you my house and my clothing, so you make a kinyan of the karka, and agav that, you get all the metalton. So you could say the same din by the kaveris devorim, it's a karka. I could bring along with that all the metalton. So those are two dinim the Rashbam mentions. And then the Mishnah adds other examples of that harehu kikarka, the last line of Samech Hey Amud Beis, that kosvin alaha Prusbo, that you can write a Prusbo. We know the lachas of Shemitah's Ksafim. If I have a loan and Shemitah comes and cancels out the loan, I can't collect it anymore. But if I write a Prusbo, as the Takan of Hillel, the Gemara's in Gittin, so then I can circumvent that Shemitah's Ksafim. Now, one of the requirements for writing a Prusbo is I have to have a piece of land, the property, to write the Prusbo on. Rashbam explains why that is. I'm not going to know right now why, but you need a karka. So says the Mishnah, a kaveris devorim, that honeycomb, that beehive, that qualifies as karka. If I own that alone, I can write a prusbo on that karka. Another halacha that the Mishnah says a kaveris devorim is like a karka is eino mikabelas tuma bimkoma. So we said before many times that only kalim can be mikabel tuma. Things are not kalim, which is either a rock isn't kalim, or something that's attached to the ground isn't chayvin, is not mekabel tuma. So it's not mekabel tuma bimkoma. That honey, if you look at the Rashbam on Samech Vavam and Aleph now, the last four narrow lines in Rashbam is einu mekabel tuma. Zu hakaveris bimkoma, when the honeycomb is in its place where it was made by the bees, duchayvin dimichuberesi lekarka, Yatsa mitars kli. It's attached to the ground. It's not called a kli. The gam hadvash shebisoche. Even the honey eino mekabel tuma debatel legave kaveris. That honey is part of the ground, if you will, and that honey cannot be mekabel tuma. The dafka bimkoma only when the honey is still in the combs. Aval im natlu misham. If you extract the honey, oz mekabel hadvash tuma. Then the dvash can be mekabel tuma. So that's another halacha that the kaveris devorim is like a karka. V'haroda mimena b'shabes chayv chata. A person who removes the honey, someone gave me as a gift for Rosh Hashanah a actual real honeycomb, like real natural honey, wasn't sweetened. So they're shy. How can you use that on Shabbos and Yom Tif? Because you have to extract the honey. It's the iser of sochet, squeezing out something from a honeycomb. So harod de men b'shabes, drawing out the honey on Shabbos, is a chiv chatas according to the Rabbi Eliezer. Fine. So then the Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, they argue. Chachamim say, no, eino kakarka. No, a kaveris dvorim, a honeycomb is not part of the ground. And therefore, the way you're kona it is the same way you're kona metaltlim. And he adds further, v'eino kosvin ala prusbol. It's not enough. If all I have is a honeycomb, a beehive, it's not good enough to write a prusbol. I need real property. And it is mekabel tuma because it's viewed as a kli. It's viewed as detached from the ground, bimkoma, even when it's in the location. And harod mimenu b'shabes pate. If I extract the honey from it, so it's going to be pate as well, because it's not really mechub l'karka. The iser of tolish, of kotzer, ripping off, is only things that are attached to the ground. But let's say it's not attached to the ground. If I've got grapes, and I have a cluster of grapes, I pick off a grape, there's no iser involved in that. That's not attached to the ground. So removing from honey would be pate. So that's machlokes Rabbi Eliezer versus Chachamim. So before we connect it back, just a couple points. When the Chacham hold, and we pasken this way, harod mimenu b'shabbos your pater. If I extract honey on Shabbos, that's pater. So Ritva says, is that pater of al aser or is that pater umutter? So typically the halacha is whenever it comes to Shabbos, pater means pater of al aser, except for the few exceptions where the Gemara explicitly writes it's a pater umutter. So Ritva is not sure, and Ritva concludes that he thinks it's mutter to extract honey from the honeycombs, but the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch pasken that's pater aval aser. So a person cannot remove the honey from a honeycomb. So I think halacha lemaisa, if you have those combs that I was given, it would be aser to squeeze it out to get that honey out of those honeycombs, even though they're detached. Exactly. The Mishnah talks about, you can spoon out, but you have to be careful not to squeeze it out.
Right.
But exactly, the Mishnah talks about, if anything, it says, chalos dvash, the Mishnah says in Shabbos, anything that squeezed out on its own might be permitted. I don't remember exactly.
If you hold it on top, it keeps on
drifting. Right, but there's still another halacha that if you allow for that, it might cause you to squeeze more. I don't remember exactly the halacha. But there's a discussion here about that. Another interesting piece is, Sarah, they point to this Gemara here. There's a whole discussion. What does dvash mean when it says Eretz is zavas chalav dvash? What's the dvash they're referring to?
Tamarim.
Exactly. Some say, is it dvash devorim or is it dvash of tamarim? Which one is it? So we typically refer to it. You ask a kid, he'll tell you it means dvash devorim. But most of the Mefarshim say it's referring to dvash tamarim of honey dates.
I think in the Gemara, in most cases, it's
honey dates. So it goes. So Eli, it's a machlokas. So is well, Shita there, certainly by the Dvash Tumarim there would be exactly. So that's part of the debate. So they try to prove in this Mishnah, And we'll see in the upcoming pasuk as well that a stam dvash is actually referring to dvash devorim. Because look at the Gemara is about to say now. The Gemara says, Hasam, so far, before we get to that point, the Gemara says right now, so this is Rabbi Eliezer, he held that anything connected to the karka, namely this kaveres dvorim, which is connected to the karka, is kakarka dami. And he would say that back to the case of tsinor, if you put the tsinor and connect it to the ground, that should be mechubar lekarka to him. That should be no longer a kli. So he's seeing this is the Rebbe Elazar who cannot be the author of the Braisa, because he would think even a tsinor connecting to the ground would be kakarka. Gemara says no. You can't connect the halach of dvash to the halach of tsinor. Hasam kedama Rebbe Elazar taima. What's the reason why dvash is considered kikarka? Because the Amar Rabbi Eliezer, my time, the Rabbi Eliezer, the two people, Rabbi Eliezer is explaining Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reason? This is referring to Yonasan. The pasuk talks about that he stuck the stick and took out the yaros dvash from literally the forest of honey. By the way, this is Yonasan Eibshitz. One of his farm is called Yaros Dvash, based on this pasuk here. It's referring to Yonasan ben Shaul. So he stuck the stick in to remove some of the dvash. So what's Yaros Dvash? What's a forest of honey? Ma ya'ar hatolish mimenu b'shabes chayv chatas. Just like when you remove from a forest a tree, it's a chayv chatas, it's kotzer, it's tolish. After dvash, harod mimenu b'shabes chayv chatas. So too, honey as well, when you remove the honey, so it's a chayv chatas. So this is Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning because it's a pasuk in Navi. That has no bearing on the discussion of a tsinor connected to the ground, so you cannot connect the two. So what we see from here, this pasuk, when you say Vayitbol also b'yaros dvash, so what's pshat there? So Mefarshim have a debate. Is it referring to dvash dvorim or is it referring to dvash tamarim? And this Gemara clearly assumes it's referring to dvash of dvorim. So stam dvash in the Torah, they think is actually honey, a honeybee, honey from bees. So therefore, they think also Eretz Vas Chalav Udvash might also be honey that comes from bees. So this also relates to what the bracha do you say on a honey, on honey from a bee? Is it Shehakol, or is it, you say, Ha'etz? Tosos and brachas, right, you say Ha'etz, because the pasuk says Yaros Dvash, connects Yaros Dvash. So it's supposed to be Ha'etz, it grows on a tree.
It doesn't grow
on a tree, but yeah. There's actually an interesting Snapple fact.
Also, it's not a tree.
What? The Snapple fact says that the only food that's made by animals, made by animals, is honey.
Right.
Milk comes from, but the cows don't make it. It just comes naturally. Honey's actually made by bees. It's the only one.
Also, honey but never spoils.
That's another thing, another Snapple fact, actually. But I've had honey that went pretty bad, actually. But
really?
I've had one where
it gets sugary, but it doesn't mean it's bad. It's still edible.
Either way, fine.
You don't want to eat it, but it's still edible.
So this is the case for Jonas, and you know, when he came from the war, and Shaul said that anybody who eats has to be killed.
Yeah, and he got in trouble for this.
And he got in trouble, and that's what we say when they tell lecha motzei Shabbos, we say, Hayamus Jonas and Asher, because the people saved him. Shaul was actually going to kill Jonas and his son because he ate.
I haven't said that since B'nai Ashurin days. I'll advise you back to that point. Okay, fine.
That's it.
And says the Gemara Vaita now. Ella Rabbi Eliezer, the daf. So which is the Rabbi Eliezer? Again, we're going back to the beginning. We had the halacha of I have a pipe, it's sinor, which is a problem of shuvim, and I put it back in the ground, it still is considered shuvim since it was once a kli. And the Gemara says that can't be Rabbi Eliezer shita. So which Rabbi Eliezer are we saying that it cannot be? So now the Gemara suggests maybe it's Ella Rabbi Eliezer the daf. Which Rabbi Eliezer the daf? So the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in the Meseches Kelim, daf shel nachtomim. You have a board that's used by the bakers. Now Rashbam has two interpretations what this board was used for. Either he says it was a board used for kneading, or it's a board used for placing the bread out to sell. Okay, but either way it's used by the bakers. So a daf shel nachtomim shekavu b'koso. They had nailed it up against the wall. So Rabbi Eliezer mitahir and Chachamim mitamim. So even though it was once a daf shel nachtomim, it was a board which was a kli. Now, but you nailed it to the karka, the wall. Now it's part of the karka. It loses the shame kli. So therefore, it's no longer going to become tame because it's not a kli. It's a karka. That's Rabbi Eliezer. But Chachamim say that it still is matame because once you had a shame kli, it always is a shame kli, even though you attach it to the ground. So now the Gemara says, let's connect it back to our discussion of tsinor. I've got a pipe and I attach it to the ground. Is it going to lose the shame tsinor or not? So money, who authored the Mishnah, the Braisa earlier rather? E. Rabbi Eliezer, the author, if he authored the Tzinor case, Afilu Chakako Ulvasof Kavo, he would allow, even if you make this the pipe and then attach the pipe to the ground, even that case would be Tahor. That should be a good mikvah. But the Brisa says it's not a good mikvah in that case. And E. Rabbanan, if Rabbanan had written the Brisa, they would say Afilu Kavo Ulvasof Chakako. They would say it's possible, even if you use a, even if it's a piece of metal you put on the ground, then you carve a hole through it while it's attached to the ground. Even Rabbanan would agree that should be possible, because a daf shenach tomim, even when it's attached to the ground, is metame, so to a tzinor should always be tame, even though it's attached to the ground.
It's interesting, because it's not the same case. Because here, he's making a kli.
It's kli first, then you put it on. Right. So it is a jump that the Gemara is suggesting.
Right.
Correct, it is a jump. I don't know if they point this out, though. Let's look for a second here. Yeah, the Rashbam points out, since in this Mishnah here of Daf Shenach Tonim, the Mishnah doesn't distinguish. It should have said, if it's a Daf, and then you put in the Karka, it's Tameh. They should have said, but if it's a Karka, then you fashion out a Daf, that should be Tar. The fact that they don't say that indicates there is no Chilik, regardless of the order that you do things. So who authored that Brisa of the Tzinur, again, where he said, if you make the Tzinur, and then you attach it, it's Tameh. But if you attach it, and then make the Tzinur, that's actually Tahor. Who authored that Brisa? So the Gemara says, Liolam Rabbi Eliezer, really Rabbi Eliezer authored the Brisa of the Tzinur, and he holds that the order does make a difference, but shiny pshute kliyetz the tuma d'rabanan. Since the halachas of a flat piece of wood is only tamim mid'rabanan, he's more makel and says that if it was once a daf, which is tameh, that you connect it to the ground, it will lose that status of tuma. But Tzinur, of the using a pipeline, the shuvim, at least at this stage, he assumes it's deraisa at this point, so even after you attach it to the ground, it's possible forever. Okay. Yeah, so that's a backtrack. Again, Reb Elazar holds. If I make a kli while it's attached to the ground and make a hole, that's tahor. It's attached to the ground, it never was a kli, that's tahor. If I have a kli and then attach it, so it depends on what the situation was. By the case of a psul deraisa like shuvim, the kli, once a kli, you can never remove that kli. That's called the pasul. But when it comes to the pshute kliyet, which is only derbanan, then connecting the kli to the ground will be mavatel, that shame kli, and won't be tamet. That's the din of Rabbi Eliezer.
The focus is between kli derbanan.
Exactly. The whole discussion is kli derbanan, but by a case of tsinur, that would be, since deraisa, you cannot be mavatel the kli. Okay.
Okay.
No, we're not done yet. So Gemara now says, Michlal the Shiva deraisa. Is this saying that Shiva deraisa? Everyone knows, not everyone, but a lot of people know, you learn the sugyas, that's only midirabanan. And the Rashbam quotes a number of the sources. It's a tumah dirabanan. So if it's tumah dirabanan, the tzinor case should also say mivivata, just like the daf shanach tomim, when you connect it and lose the shame kli, the tzinor also, once you connect it to the ground, should also lose its shame kli. So we see Shiva is really deraisa of a hakaimel and don't we hold, it's only derabanan we paskin. V'od, moreover, ha'amar Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Chanina bedav shamateches machlokes. The whole discussion is not about a cliche, it's referring to a piece of metal, a whole other discussion. So therefore,
it changes everything.
This is a din. Where's the Rashbam here? All right, so the kli matechas is tame even on deraisa level. So the case of daf shenach tonim, which is referring to a metal board now, it's matechas, so that would be tuma deraisa. So everything, this distinction of derabanan and deraisa is now all flipped around. Really, shuvin's derabanan, but daf shenach tonim is really deraisa. So that chilek doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, fine. Really, Liolam Rabbanan. He really Rabbanan authored the case of the Tzinur. Vishaini Shiva the Rabbanan. So now this makes more sense. The Rabbanan hold by the Daf Shanach Tonim, which is a deraisa psul mateches. It's tameh. I take the Daf and I connect it to the Karka. That's still tameh because it's din deraisa. But the case of the Shuvim, which now we know is only midirabanan, so then Rabbanan will say if you attach it to the ground, it will be pasul. But if you carve it out while it's attached to the ground, that would be makel, that would be tahor and kasher, because it's only tuma amid
rabbanan. But that's rabbanan, or
is it? That's rabbanan. That's the number answer. The olam really is rabbanan here. Exactly, because now we're understanding really shuvim is derabanan, and the daf is really a case of deraisa. But to make things work out, we have to say rabbanan authored this braisa. Gemara says, "Ihachi." That's the case. So then, afilu chakakol vasov kavo nami. So that's the case. Even if I made the tzinur and then put the tzinur in, that if it's only the rabbanim, that should also be tahor according to the rabbanim. Gemara says, "Shaini hasam dikatoras kli alav betalash." You're right. Really, it should be, but we want to be machmir. There's a chumr here. So if you look at the Rashbam, the last five or six narrow lines in the Rashbam on Samach Vav Amud Beis, he says, "Mishani hasam dikatoras kli." Yes, shuvim is only possible midrabanan, but the chacham they want to be that lenient because the ain l'chashiva gedolah mizu. This is like the greatest type of shiva. Real shiva is me taking a bucket and bringing the water over. That's real shivan. But using a pipe and just connecting to the ground, that's also it's no greater shiva than that. He says v'havi shem kli alea kodem shuhukva bakarka. And since this pipe had a shem kli before it was attached to the ground. Vilo chashavs le kli bala gzerasim legamrim. If people say, oh, you could use pipes and put them in the ground, people can say, oh, this whole shuvin thing's a joke and no one's going to keep any halachas. So you have to strengthen the halachas of shuvin and said even pipes would be a problem. So therefore, you have to, in order to make pipes, you have to have a metal in the ground and then start carving holes out in the metal in order to get around this problem. Okay, this is by one of the few sugis about Shas, which are very important for mikvos. This is one of the very important sugis that comes up in Shas here.
More detailed than most of the other ones.
Yeah, exactly. And you still, there's a long Tosos here discussing this. We're not going to go into, but there's a lot of discussion of shuvin. Is it derabanan? Is it deraisa? Maybe there are some cases where it is deraisa. If you look just quickly, I'll show you in the bottom of Samech Vavam and Aleph for the Tosos there. Just one line there. But the Tosos writes there, Mechlal deshiva deraisa. Is it really true? And where it says, no, shuvin's only derabanan. So the Tosfos quotes Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam de Mefarshe de Chul Shav Habidiraisa. But let's say the entire mikveh, if the entire mikveh is shuvim, then they'll agree it is deraisa. So this whole discussion when we say shuvim's derabanan, that's only when there's a mixture of some natural rainwater and some transported water. That's when it's a psulim of derabanan. When the whole thing is shuvim, then they say it's actually a din deraisa according to the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. That's a big chiddush. Pashut is the shuvin's always derabanan. But then again, this is a big discussion, this whole long Tosfos. It's very relevant, obviously, for building mikvahs. You have to always leave the roof open until it fills up with the rainwater, and how you connect to a shaka from the bore and the actual water you go into. But it becomes a greater challenge in building a mikvah in a place like Phoenix, where there is no rain. How do you accomplish this? So the ways that, one of the ways they do, the only way they do this is they transport ice. Ice, which is not water yet. So then they transport in these big freezer trucks, and you transport it, and when it begins to melt and turn into water, that's how they get around this problem here. It's not an easy process, it's a very expensive process, but that's one of the ways, because of shuvin.
I wonder what's going to be, because I just read that an Israeli company invented something that from air you make water.
Uh-huh.
So I wonder if that would be kosher for a mikvah.
Uh-huh, interesting.
Rainwater.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it would be.
Actually, Alan Dershow was presented. It was very interesting.
That would be a new way to make a mikvah in the deserts.
Maybe.
Amazing.
Even though it's going into Pia.
Israelis don't seem to impress me. It's crazy. Water.
You can get like 20 gallons a day. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was just cloning also, because let's go back. When a person gets cloned, somebody gets cloned,
no, but
an animal.
This is big. Actually,
this is really big
because...
That person's
huge.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Let's go by this. Samach Bama Bay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, six lines down, five lines down. By Rav Yosef. May Geshomim Shechishav Aleim Lahadiach Asayit Shoblun Mahu Lizroim. Okay, what's going on here? Rainwater. Rainwater that you thought to wash Yitzstroblin, which remind me, that was the frame around the mill, right? I'm good. What was that term called?
Mill rain?
Mill ring. Okay. That rainwater that I wanted to use to wash Yitzstroblin, what's alacha lagabe ziram? So let's just backtrack for a second. We mentioned this a few times when we learned Daf Yomi together, that in order for food to become tameh, it first needs to be huchsha, needs to be prepared. That means if I've got an apple, I take it off the tree. If I'm tamei meis, I touch the apple, the apple isn't tamei. I am tamei meis, the food becomes tamei when you touch it. It has to be hochsha first. The food has to first come into contact with one of the shiva mashkim, one of the seven liquids. To once it comes into contact with water. The seven liquids are, the way I remember, there's a Rosh Hashanah, but I remember through the different Yom Tovim of the year. So Rosh Hashanah is honey, and Yom Kippur would be dam, the blood. Sukkot would be rain, and Hanukkah would be oil. Purim would be wine. Pesach would be tal, tefillas tal, and Shavuos would be milk. Those are the seven Shiva Mashkim. So this Rambam talks about the connection between these seven Yamim Tovim and the seven Mashkim. So the food has to first come into contact with one of these Shiva Mashkim, but also can't be incidental contact, has to be where I wanted it. Ki Yutan, the Pasuk says, where it was placed with intention, with Machshava. So now I wanted the rainwater to wash my Shoblim, that much I wanted. But I didn't necessarily want it for the Zeroyim. The fact that I wanted it for some purpose, and now my food happens to touch the rainwater afterwards, is that going to be enough to consider now my food, my Zeroyim, Hochshir L'tumah? That's the Shiloh of the Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, Damar kol mechub l'karka, hareyu k'karka, lo tibay lecha. Rabbi Eliezer Shita, who we've seen already a few times, anything attached to the ground is part of the ground, that's not a Shiloh at all. Because why? Look at Rashbam here. Rashbam says, where's the crazy one here? So the question here is referring to this it's Shtrobel. This it's Shtrobel, is that considered part of the ground or detached from the ground? That's the whole Shiloh here. It was this mill ring, this ring that goes around the mill. Is that considered part of the karka? So according to him, it certainly is part of the karka, and therefore it won't be Hochshir L'tumah. Because it has to be only when things are detached from the ground as food. So if you have the water that touches the shtroblin, it's considered as part of the karka and wouldn't be a situation of being machshir ma'izraim after the fact. So him, it's pashut. But according to... let's look at Rashbam to make this clear. I just want to make this clear for everyone. Look at the Rashbam, the last two narrow lines in Rashbam. Bayi Rav Yosef Meg Shamim. Shayu Yardin v'chishev alem, the rain came, and you thought, perfect, shadicho es shoblim, it's going to wash my dirty mill, that's fantastic, my mill ring, it's fantastic. So Mao, what's the din, sha'osin g'shamim, that rainwater, yachshiru zroim, will now, if it jumps off and hits my vegetables, wherever they are, I've got a pile of apples, or tomatoes, im naflu alem l'kabal tumma, will then, it be makabal, my zroim be makabal tumma. The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, Machshir, in the first Mishnah, Kol HaMashke Shetchilas L'Ratzon, every liquid that came initially with Ratzon, with interest, Ava Pish Ein Sof L'Ratzon, even though in the end I wasn't interested in this. I mean, I was interested on the rainwater for the Shtroblim. I wasn't interested in being the Zeroyim. So will that be Machshir my Zeroyim? That's Machshir. Since initially there was Ratzon, I don't care if I wasn't be Ratzon afterwards, that's called Machshir. Hachanami, here as well, says Rashbam. Since I want the rainwater for my mill ring to be cleaned, even though I don't want my fruit to be washed, that's considered good. Only if you assume that the Shtrobel is considered detached, because if not, it only works in my machshava is that the water falls on something that's detached from the ground. The rainwater falls on my tree, I'm like, my tree's getting watered, that doesn't help with the pile of fruit underneath it. It has to be something talish. That's based on the Xeris
Kosmos. You always want, are happy with rain,
right.
whatever.
Well, because I'm always happy, it doesn't mean that won't work still. It still, in theory, could still work if it then ricochets off the tree.
So why doesn't it work?
I think it's based on the Xeris Kosmos of the Chiyutan. I quote the Gemara in Chulin here that talks about this. It has to be Talish Lekarka. Yeah. The rest of Rashbam goes on the reason for this. So now, if its Shtrobel is attached to the ground, so just because it ricochets off its Shtrobel onto the fruit, that won't work. So Rebbe Lazar, the Pashuk, it's not Huchshir because he holds Kol HaMochuba Lekarka, Harehin Kekarka. The only Shaila is, says the Gemara now, Ki Tibaylecha as Aliba Durabanam, they don't hold of such a klal. Just because its shovel is attached to the ground doesn't mean it's kakarka dami. So the shaila is, according to them, dami ain kakarka mai, is that water that ricochets off its shovel, will that then be machshir the zram? And the Gemara ends off, mai teku. The Gemara doesn't have a solution for this answer, this question. Okay. Gemara now says, Bam of Samech Vavam Rebei Shalach Le Rav Yinechemia Brei Durav Yosef Luraba Brei Durav Huna Zuti Lenarda. Okay. They said the following shaila to him. Ki asya hach isisa, or they send out a shayla, they send the following halacha. When this woman gets to you, lekamech in front of you, apparently they knew this woman was going there, they sent the following message, that agve isur nichse afilu mit shtoblu, direchai. When they connect the isur nichasim, what's isur nichasim? So Rashbam explained, look at Rashbam around seven narrow lines down on Tzamech Zayin Amad Aleph, So Yitzhar Nichsei Shabbas no tells him Nichsei Avia, a daughter takes from her father's property, Bishul Parnasas Habal Inasebo, in order to for her husband to marry him, so she's allowed to take a tenth of the property. So when you calculate the tenth of property, what's considered the property? What's considered karka? So they said, even it's shobli, if the rechaim, that the mill ring is part of the karka, and she gets that's part of the calculations, she would take a tenth of that as well, because you're passing like Rabbi Eliezer, that the cholam mechubal karka, harei hehu kekarka. Then the Gemara says, not only that, Amar Rav Ashi, ki avinan bei Rav Kana, when I was in the base medrash of Kana, they took it a step further, magvinan afilu me'amla debasi. That this daughter could take Iser Nichse even from what's Ma'amla Debasi, says Rashbam. If you go to the Rashbam now, towards the last, the first Y line, the end of the line says Ma'amli Debasi, Mischiris Habatim, the rent you collect on the renting out houses, Dikimakarkari Chashivlov, that's considered like the property itself, and therefore she could collect a tenth of that revenue as well. So the Gemara said, look at Tosos for a second, and we'll stop here. Tosas writes, Ma'amli Debasi. He asks the question, Im Tomar Heichi Dami, what's the situation where she's collecting the rent? Ikfar Babas Kiris Liad Ha'achin, if the brother's already collected the rent, Im Kain Metaltle Ninhu, it's considered Metaltlin, Velo Gavi Menau, she can't take Metaltlin away, she only has Iser Bekarka, not Iser Bekartlin. The also Lashman, if it's going to teach us, Sheikhola Lahaskir Latzarech Nidun Yasa, she could rent out the property that she owns to get rent for her Nidunya. Pshita, of course, she could sell anything she wants. She's given a tenth of the property, she could sell it, she could rent it. There's no chiddush there. So what's the case that the Gemara is telling us that she's allowed to collect rent, part of the Iser Nichse? So enters Tosus V'yeshomer, must be kagon she'eschir habayis l'shana. They rented out the house, the family, the father rented out the house for a year. The kvar aver chatzi hazman. Now half the year went by. The kamash mlan, the filu eschiris mizman she'avar titel, dein eschiris mishalames el vasof, the lodam mil metaltlin. That rent, which is owed to her, but not yet collected, though, if it's collected, that's metaltlin. She has no rights. If it's owed to the family, and no one collected it just yet, she has rights to that as well, even though it's owed, but since it wasn't yet collected, it's not called metaltlin, and those are the rights that she is able to collect a tenth from that money. Okay, so we'll stop here. The end of the Gemara was just simply to bring other situations of teaching us that where certain things are considered mechubal karka.